It was 67 years ago that my guest Gerald Wilson joined the popular swing band led by Jimmy Lunsford. Yesterday, he celebrated his 88th birthday. Wilson is not only still working, he's still winning awards. This year, he won the Jazz Journalists Association Award for Best Large Ensemble. This month, UCLA is honoring him as Teacher of the Year. Wilson is a trumpeter, but he's best known for his work as an arranger, composer, and bandleader. Among the luminaries he's arranged for are Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, and Ray Charles. Wilson has been leading his own band since the mid-40s. His latest CD, In My Time, was described by music critic Francis Davis as his finest hour. Here's a track from it called Dorian, composed and arranged by Wilson. That's Dorian from Gerald Wilson's new CD, In My Time. Gerald Wilson, welcome to Fresh Air. Now, you've been playing in big bands, your own and others, for many decades, starting in the 1940s when you joined the Jimmy Lunsford Band. Give us a sense of what it's like to play or to conduct a big band, what it was like to do that, say, in the 1940s when the big bands were still really popular and there were ballrooms that dancers would go to and you'd be performing and there'd be a lot of dancers on the floor, which I think is kind of rare nowadays. So give us a sense of what it was like for you as a musician to be in a band in that kind of setting.
I joined the Jimmy Lunsford Band in June of 1939. And of course I made my trip here to New York City, and they were one of the top bands in the world at that time. And playing with them was one of the dreams of my life. I had never dreamed that I'd be able to play with them, but this was one of my dreams, and it was great. I loved playing in the band, and it was wonderful to see the people out there dancing. It was just fun. It was just a life of fun doing the things that I love to do.
So when you joined the band, did you have to get a uniform? What did you wear?
Well, that's very good you asked me that question, because I arrived here in New York. The first thing I had to do, one of the other trumpet players in the band met me, and then he took me to the tailor here in New York to measure me for my uniforms. Not one uniform, but for seven.
Were they all the same?
No, there was one with the way they ran them. It was the first uniform in the morning when we would play morning shows, before noon, we would wear the English walking suits. these are black jackets that have braid around them, and then you wear them with gamble stripe trousers. And we had all seven different. Then the next show, which would be, we'd have a sporty uniform on. After that, it would be another kind of a suit. Up until the last show, which we would do seven shows, like at the Paramount Theater here in New York, we'd do seven shows on the weekend. And at the very end, we would have on our formal dress.
So how did you clean all these suits when you were on the road?
Well, we have valets, we call them valets at that time, that handled all of that. We had trunks to carry all of that in, all of our uniforms, all of our shoes. Everything was alike. The band, when they would get on the stand, every guy was dressed alike. And they would take them and get them to the cleaners, and they would be ready for us whenever we were to play.
And did you like that aspect of performance?
Oh, I loved every moment of it. This is a dream coming true for me. And I loved every moment of it that I spent with the Jimmy Lunceford Orchestra, making records, playing theaters, making movies. You know, we were in Blues in the Night, one of the biggest Warner Brothers movies of all time. We were featured in that, on things like that. And we played the Paramount here in New York. We were just, we played this Lowe's State. We played the Apollo 5 or 6 times a year. We played nothing but the biggest jobs, and always booked, too, by the way.
One of the first arrangements of yours and compositions that became famous was something that you wrote, co-wrote, I guess, for the Jimmy Lunceford Band, and it's called Yard Dog Mazurka.
Yes.
Let's start with the title. How did you come up with that title?
Okay, well, I didn't name that tune. The name was given to me by a young man who was another writer with the Jimmy Lunceford Band. His name was Roger Segura. And the way the number happened, it wasn't going to be an original composition. I was starting to write an arrangement, an orchestration on Stomping at the Savoy. So I had written the introduction out, and I happened to be over at Roger's home that evening here in New York. And I said to Roger, I says, "Hey, Roger, listen to my introduction here that I'm writing for Stomping at the Savoy." And I played it on the piano for him. And he said, "Hey, that's very good, Gerald." He says, "Why don't you just go on and make yourself a bridge to it, and then you'll have an original composition." So I thought about that, and I said to my, "That was a good idea." And I said, "Roger, you know, I never would have thought of that." And I says, you gave me the idea. I'm going to give you half of the number." And I gave him half of the number. That's why you see his name on the there as co-composer.
When you say half the number, you mean half the royalties.
That's what I mean.
Half the songwriting credit and half the royalties.
Yeah, the credit and that, you know. Which was a good idea. I would have done it anyway because I never would have thought of it. And I would have written an arrangement on Stopping at the Savoy.
Well, why don't we hear Yard Dog Mazurka, composed and arranged by my guest Gerald Wilson, recorded by the Jimmy Lunceford Band in 1941. And the first solo you'll hear, the trumpet solo, is by Gerald Wilson. Here it is. Yard Dog Mazurka, the Jimmy Lunceford Band, and the composition was composed and arranged by my guest Gerald Wilson, who also took that trumpet solo. You grew up in Shelby, Mississippi.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what your town was like when you were a boy.
Okay, I was born in 1918, as you know, and my mother was a school teacher. She was also a music teacher. She played piano. She played piano in the school. She played piano in the church. And she taught me how to read music when I was a little boy. 5 years old, I'd already started reading music. And I was in music all my life. My sister was a classical pianist. I knew all about Rachmaninoff and Beethoven and Bach and Diande and Ravel and Debussy and all of those when I was a little kid, listening to my sister play this music. My brother was also a pianist. He could play jazz and the piano. He's a graduate from Tuskegee Institute. And it was music in my house all day long. That's all I ever heard was music all day, and I loved it, and that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a jazz musician.
What was your school like? in Shelby, Mississippi?
My school, of course, we know that it was segregated. It only went to the eighth grade. After the eighth grade, you'd have to go away. In the case of my sister and brother, they went to other schools. But in my case, I was happened to lucky enough to go to Memphis, Tennessee. My home is only 80 miles south of Memphis, Tennessee. I went to Memphis, Tennessee, where I studied high. I was in high school for 3 years. And by the way, it's the same school that Jimmy Lunsford had been a teacher and the football coach.
Is that where you first heard of him?
No, I actually heard of him before that because I'd hear them on the radio.
Okay,
I used to
good.
Listen. Uh-huh. Yeah, I used to listen to all the bands on the radio. I sold the radio guide in my hometown. I sold the black newspapers, the Chicago Defender, the Pittsburgh Courier, and the Baltimore African-American newspaper, so I could keep up with what all the bands were doing, like Duke Ellington and Chick Webb and all the great black bands of that time. And I listened to all the white bands at that time.
And then you went to Detroit after that.
Yes, I went to the World's Fair in Chicago in 1934, and I was certainly taken away with Chicago. It was this big city, more liberty for blacks, a better outlook at life. And I begged my mother to send me to Chicago after I got home from the fair. And she says, well, look, I can't send you to Chicago, but I can send you to Detroit, Michigan. So all I wanted to do was get to the north. So that was great with me. There was a family that had lived two doors from us in Mississippi, and they agreed to let me come and live with them while I was attending school in Detroit, Michigan.
So the school you attended there was high school, college?
It was high school.
High school.
The name of that school is Cass Tech. It's still there, by the way, and it's one of the greatest schools in the world. In fact, they would be rated as Juilliard number one and Cass Tech number two. And as I say, we had music all day. You had to study band, you had to study harmony, you had to study orchestration, you had to study percussion, you had to play in the different bands, jazz bands, whatever, at the school. It was just music all day.
My guest is trumpeter, composer, arranger, and bandleader Gerald Wilson. His latest CD is called In My Time. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is trumpeter, composer, arranger, and bandleader Gerald Wilson. His latest CD is called In My Time. We talked a little bit about bands that you've played with.
Yeah.
Now, you've also done arranging for singers. Some of those singers include Ray Charles, Bobby Darin, Nancy Wilson. Who else?
Well, we'll go Ella Fitzgerald, Ray Charles, as you say, Carmen McRae, Sarah Vaughan, Dinah Washington.
How is arranging for a singer different than arranging just an instrumental for a band?
Well, the thing about the way I approach it myself, I stay out of the way of the singer. I try to, when I have to bring in the band, I bring it in. I have to, and of course, I try to use great harmony for them and to make the voice sound better. I use my eight parts if I feel like it. And I try to many composers write numbers and they don't know the inside of deep harmony, so you have to go in and figure that out so and change it to what it should be. I do that, and as I said, working with these great artists, I just enjoy doing that. And of course, as you said, Ray Charles, modern sounds in country and western music, which I did all of the music for that. And again, I think that's a time when if they would give us a little attention and say, when he finished singing You Are My Sunshine and Bye Bye Love and all of those country tunes, yeah, I'd sure be happy if they'd said my name, that I'm the one who orchestrated it. And I'd appreciate that.
Well, why don't we hear a track from Ray Charles, Modern Sounds in Country and Western, and the music on this album was arranged by my guest, Gerald Wilson. That's Ray Charles from an album that was arranged by my guest, Gerald Wilson. For those of us who haven't had the pleasure of actually seeing you conduct.
Yes.
What's your style of conducting?
Different from any style you've ever seen before. I move. I choreograph the music as I conduct. You see, I pointed out everything you to listen to. People can't keep their eyes off of me.
So you're making it sound like you point things out not for the benefit of the musicians, like it's your turn, read section, but for the benefit of the listener?
No, for the benefit of the listener. He sees what everything is happening because every time I move, something happens there where I move. My two hands here showing you where to look. If I want them to concentrate on my soloist, I concentrate on him. And they pinpoint where they're to look now and listen as they look. I think that's what I am. That's the way I can explain it now. I choreograph my music.
Gerald Wilson, you're 87 now, and that's an age at which most people, if they're lucky enough to have lived that long, have retired. You have not. You're still composing, arranging, conducting. You have a new CD. So are there aspects of your work that you feel age has interfered with?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm working all the time, fooling around, playing the piano so that I can get new things that'll be going. And so it hasn't affected me at all. I feel good, and I'm hanging in there.
Well, Gerald Wilson, a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for talking with us.
It's my pleasure and my honor, Terry.
Gerald Wilson. We recorded the interview when he was still 87. Yesterday, he celebrated his 88th birthday. Next month, he'll perform with his band for a week in Manhattan at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola. Wilson's latest CD is called In My Time.